May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Amen. King Saul, in our first reading today, is a truly interesting figure, and tragically, the reading starts with him being rejected by God and a new king being chosen by him to lead the nation of Israel. But when we look at King Saul and his life, we'll discover that there are actually a lot of things we can learn about being a faithful disciple of God and about leadership. Saul's story actually begins when the Israelites come with a very awkward request to God. The Israelites just had been delivered from slavery in Egypt, and they had been wandering around for several decades in the desert. But finally, they reached this newfound promised land, which God had promised to give to them. And the land was literally flowing with milk and honey. So it was really an amazing place. It was flourishing. And it was really great to be there. And the people were, of course, at first very happy to be there. But then they did something which wasn't that wise. They started to look around and started to compare themselves with their neighbors. And then they suddenly discovered that they had almost everything, but they were actually missing one thing. Every nation except the Israelites had a king. And they thought that, well, it really needed to be changed. And so they went to God and asked him to give them a king. But when we think about it, it's really a ridiculous request. And really outright insulting to God, because God had chosen the Israelites to be his people and a nation after his own heart. But they seemed to reject his leadership, and they wanted to exchange it for human wisdom and guidance. So God really warned them about their short-sightedness. But they didn't take heed, and so in the end, God did not stand in their way. And he knew his people, of course, and he thought of Saul. Saul was a young, tall, handsome man, and really shy, but he was a very nice man. And so God chose him at the prime of his age to become the very first king of Israel, in the entire history of Israel. So that was really a great honor. But as I said, Saul was also very shy, and he did not want to stand in the limelight. He was not looking for that. But nevertheless, God supported him, and God sent his spirit upon him. And so Saul really changed, and it had a profound impact on his life. He became more confident, and almost immediately he was able to lead a very successful rescue operation, which catapulted him into the hearts of everybody. And he united the nation in a very significant way. He even built a very powerful army, and people were standing in line to join it because it was really prestigious to be part of this army. Unfortunately, the glorious period in King Saul's life didn't last for too long, because the first sign of trouble came along not long after he became king. Saul and his army were preparing for a battle, and the prophet Samuel was supposed to lead them in proper spiritual preparation before they go out for their military campaign. But somehow Samuel did not arrive on time, and Saul started to get nervous. The men were deserting him, and he couldn't wait any longer. So he took a decision. The king himself performed the religious rites of a priest. Now, we might think at first, well, what's wrong with that? Because according to earthly standards, you would be really incapable if you were not able to take a decision and just were waiting for a long period of time. But this hastiness was actually revealing something significant in Saul's life. It showed a great inner weakness from his side, because he was willing to compromise God's directions. And it was not the only time he was going to do this. This was actually a pattern throughout his reign. God would instruct him to do something, and he would follow through, maybe halfway, but then he would forget about it. The final event, which then completely made him lose God's backing, was when he didn't follow through once again on one of his military campaigns. God had instructed him to destroy everything he would find. So everything materialistic and even every human being, every animal, he was supposed to kill and get rid of. Now, Saul once again didn't do that. He kept everything for himself. Well, he took slaves and he took all the money. And then he resurrected a statue for himself so people could really adore him. And sadly, being confronted about that, he at first didn't admit he did do anything wrong. And then he tried to bribe his way out of it by saying, well, God, you know, I kept everything, but actually I wanted to dedicate that to you. So really, it isn't a problem at all. But God, of course, didn't believe him because he sees through everything. And then suddenly Saul came up with all sorts of excuses and said, you know, I was under pressure, so I couldn't really resist that and I had to keep it. But the underlying issue with that behavior was that Saul wanted to keep all the glory for himself, and he didn't really think of God as being someone he should worship, but as being something he could use as a means to get what he wants in life. It actually says in the Bible that God regretted that he made Saul king over Israel because he really wanted him to succeed. And also the prophet Samuel is said to have mourned over Saul. But once that period is over, God asks Samuel to go to Ramah and find David and anoint him as a new king over Israel. So Saul's story is tragic in many ways, but when we stop short here and think about it, there are a lot of things we can learn about leadership. To begin with, that God's leadership is truly superior to man's, and it is superior because it is based on the fact that he loves us, and he loves us more than anyone else in this entire world could ever love us. And that's the very reason why we never have to remind him about our existence, because he knows it anyway. And we don't have to beg him that he has to take care of us. And we don't have to worry about anything he does, because we know that he is not selfish. He will act for us and in our best interest. This reassurance is what we need when we face dark periods in our life, and especially uncertain times. And I think this is one thought we need to cling on to in a couple of weeks when our congregation will be left waiting for a new priest. We might temporarily be left without a priest or without a job or without good health or people to support us or to understand us, but we'll never be left without God's love and his leadership. Secondly, Saul's life tells us a lot about human leadership too. First of all, that we must have proper respect and a proper place for worship, and it must be built upon love and dedication for God. We must be patient for God's timing, even under pressure. And more importantly, we must be willing to repent when we fail, because it is certain that we will fail. And there will be many times where we will really have to depend on Jesus and on his forgiveness. And finally, what Saul's life tells us more than anything else is that there are many forms of leadership. And sometimes we are not looking for it. Like Saul, he was not planning to become king. And we would not be called to fill in a position of leadership if God thought that we were not fit to do that. But there are many times where, according to worldly standards, we are not in a leadership position, but we actually are. For example, if we are taking care of our aging parents, or if we are in a community and people are looking to someone who would really guide them through this rough patch of their life. So we learn that human leadership can only be fruitful if we work towards God's plan for humanity, and if we are rooted and grounded in God's love like a tree. You know, it's hard to believe, but humanity is actually going into a direction. And it's not that bad. God puts people in charge. If you look at the Bible, God puts people in charge, removes them or impacts their life in a way that they work for him. And his kingdom will truly come. Now, what is his kingdom like? His kingdom is here when there is no more pain, no more hatred, and no more injustice. And his kingdom is here when everyone in this entire world acknowledges that God's leadership is the leadership we need. Not because they have to, but because they truly believe that with all their heart. And today, this vision of this kingdom of God might seem so unrealistic and like a mere fantasy. But to jumpstart our imagination, Jesus told this parable about the mustard seed. The mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds in this world, and when you look at it, it doesn't look very significant. But we shouldn't underestimate its growth just by seeing its present state. Because when it grows, it will become very tall, and it will provide for many birds and other animals. So Jesus is actually giving us hope here that the things we do today, the things which might not seem very significant, actually do matter a lot to him. So let us pray today that we can be faithful, that we can be rooted and grounded in God's love, so that at the end we will all turn out like the mustard tree, providing for many, many people around us. Amen. Amen.